Generally, Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for a church that lifts our voice to you, to worship you. I pray that your spirit moves. I pray that we are willing to listen. Lord, this morning, as you prepare our hearts, I pray that we hear your message. I pray this morning that we are moved by your presence. That nothing is more important than you in our lives. Lord, I pray that you open our minds. I pray that you open our hearts to receive your word, to receive your spirit, that you move and that you change us and that we say yes to you today. Lord, you hear the prayer requests. You see those who are around the altars. You see the ones that are sitting before you. You see the ones at home, maybe sitting in their couch, maybe just kneeling on their floor. Lord, I pray that you hear our prayer requests this morning. Lord, I pray that we are diligent in praying to you, bringing our petitions before you, and also keep our eyes open and our ears open to hear and see you move, and be patient to watch you handle our prayer request. You're a God that cares. You're a God that loves. You're a God that is involved in our lives. I pray that we recognize that today, that we believe that today. May you be the source of all our warmth, all our kindness, all our forgiveness, all our understanding of what love is. May we worship you today. Lord, as the ushers come in a couple seconds, Lord, I pray that we give with a heart that is joyful. May we give what you've called us to give. Lord, I pray that you take this offering and may it be a blessing to your ministry. May it help us move and minister in Springfield, in our neighbors. And we take this and understand that you are going to use it to glorify your kingdom. We give you all the praise. Be with us this morning. Amen. Ushers, come. God is good, right? Amen. Man, for announcement, I am so glad to be back. It's been a weird year for me health-wise, and COVID and just dealing with that. And I had a fever. When was that? Like the beginning of 2 weeks ago? I don't know when. And I decided, hey, I should probably get tested. That was my mistake. All right. Just kidding. I came back positive with COVID, and then Michelle said, go away, all right? I didn't get to see my family for 5 days. It was weird, and I had to mask up in my own house, and the fifth day of being in quarantine was Sunday. That was the one Sunday that I was like, God, I don't want to miss. Man, in watching online, I want you to know, I felt the Holy Spirit online. Now, it's awkward watching online. I didn't get to sit with you and see you and be a part of it, but I can sense how God was moving last week. And I praise God for those stories. and how God was moving, and God, and they said yes. And what's awesome too is, like, I've had this on the calendar for a while now, that knowing that we're going to preach about how we need to tell our story, and one of my main objectives was to find people that would be willing to share their testimony. And as Tim said last week, I didn't have to find them. God presented them. And they came to me and shared and said, hey, I want to tell my story. And I was like, okay, sweet, God, I don't have to work that hard. You know, let's do that from now on, right? And so it worked out, and God, these ladies gave amazing testimonies. And what I've also heard is how you guys responded. And as a church family, understanding that these testimonies are not just their story, it is our story. And that we are called to live this story out together, right? And like Tim said, like the whole point is not necessarily to live it out in our words, but to mainly live it out in our actions. And we live in a world today that the biggest way to minister, the biggest way to witness, isn't by a post. It isn't by knowing every Bible verse and sharing it and then bringing the case for Christ before them, if you read that book, right? You don't need apologetics to convince people anymore. You know what they're looking for? Authentic believers. And what that means is when you read Scripture, that you don't just read it and regurgitate it, you live it out. They want to see your story written by God's hand. And it's how you live it out. That's how you witness today. They want to see you live an authentic life. And one of those things in which we understand when we get called to the carpet is making them understand, hey, we're not perfect. I am redeemed with a forgiving Father. And He comes and shows me my ways and my errors, and I have to come before Him and say, okay, I need to do better. And maybe that means I have to go and ask for forgiveness for not living a right way, right? In a world that's ready for that. So it is so important what we did last week to also do on a daily basis for God in our work, our home, at the grocery store, everywhere we go, is understanding that His story is written on me and I need to live it out. Right? That is what a world is waiting for. You know, they want to hear not that your passion for politics, they want to hear your passion for Jesus. First and foremost. That's what we need to hope as a church. And that was what happened on Sunday. And I love it. And I wish we can reverse and I can go back and sit in that service. What's awesome is a lot of you told me it's the best service we've had since I've been here. I wrote down those names. All right. But no, seriously, it was awesome. And I appreciate those who shared. Thank you for being willing to do that. And thank you, Tim, for stepping up last week and doing that. That is not easy to come up here, especially last minute, and give a message. It's not. It's intimidating. Which leads me to this morning. It's a little intimidating this morning, around 5 a.m. Actually, the moment I laid down my head last night, I knew some things were not what God wanted me to say this morning, and that He wanted to share some other things. And I was like, okay, God, that's not fair. I've been spending some time on this, and it's not an easy sermon topic. We're still on Rooted. We're still talking about Rooted series and the seven rhythms of what it takes to follow Jesus. And this is one that's really sensitive, especially to talk as a pastor, because it deals with our pocketbooks. I heard a sermon one time talk about, you know, if you want to know somebody's heart, you'll see their receipts and where they spent their money. It's a great indicator of what they're passionate about. Right? Anybody? No amens? All right, good deal. Already hitting it on the head this morning. And it's not a fun topic necessarily as a pastor to preach, because I'm not up here begging for your money. What I'm up here to say as a pastor is there's a way in which following Jesus we are called to do. And in that way also deals with our possessions. right? And it so happens money is one of our possessions, right? Can I have that offering? Yeah, not the offering, just the plate, right? I'm not taking the whole offering this morning. That'd be really weird, wouldn't it? All right. So, Jesus was sitting in a service kind of like this. And we can find this in Mark 12:41, all right? Jesus was sitting in a service. He was kind of probably like in the back row, kind of just watching this service happen, all right? And they start doing the offering. And just people just coming up with bags of money. And it's one of those, can you imagine, instead of just passing the plates, I took the time to say, okay, this point in service is for you to get up and put your offering in this plate so everybody can watch you and keep you accountable. Can you imagine doing that? Being awkward. I have been part of a church that in the community there was a church. I wasn't a part of the church, but they would put out the tithing notice and what you gave each week in the lobby. Should we start doing that? No. All right. Right? That was kind of like this. And Jesus was watching. All right? And the people that were attending this service, they didn't come up giving reluctantly. They came up with pride. And it was almost a competition for who could give the most. And they were just, okay, you see this? Yeah. Just bag after bag, and that's right. That's my giving this week. Worship me. You get it? And Jesus sees this widow. And during this time, widows and orphans were not a big deal. Like, they were outcast. They lost their entire identity once their husband passed away. Do you understand that? There's a reason why Jesus says we are called to love them. He calls them out. He doesn't say, you know, any other groups. He calls widows and orphans to make sure they're taken care of, make sure taken care of homeless. Like, he calls out the people that were rejected and looked down upon all the time to make sure the church understands this needs to be a focus. All right? So he calls out this widow and sees what she gives. And she only gives very, very little. And he brings his disciples to the side after service. It would be like me going, okay, church board, staff, let's have a meeting after this. Right? I saw what Michelle gave today. Let's talk about that. Right? And he asked them a simple question, who gave the most? They did not even notice, probably, the widow gave. Because it was quite insignificant to everybody else. And Jesus went on to explain she gave the most because she gave everything she had. And her heart was different from those who gave before her. Her heart was one, this is about God. And I want God to have everything. Okay, Jesus is sitting in this service this morning. Think about that too. He's watching us as we worship, as we give, as we sit here and listen to my sermon. I'm sorry, Jesus, that I'm butchering it. God is right here watching, and not his main intent is not to watch what we give, not watch how we serve. He's watching our heart this morning. And where your heart is at. Do you understand that? I want to tell you again, this sermon isn't necessarily about money. It's about sacrificial generosity. It is one of the rhythms in which rooted as we'll go through, but it's really one of the rhythms as following Christ. It's necessary. This widow gave all that she had. She didn't know where her next meal was going to come from. She didn't know if she was going to have a place to stay. She didn't know these things. It didn't matter to her. What matters is making sure God got what he deserved, which is my everything. You see, in a world that we live in, this is crazy. Right? I will tell you, I am taught we better save everything that we can. As a pastor, my retirement is up to me. From day one, if I want to have a retirement, I need to start putting away. I need to be smart with my money. And God calls us to be smart. But also, at the same time, if God calls me to give everything away, guess what I am called to do? Give everything away. Mother Teresa has this amazing quote. And if you don't know who Mother Teresa is, she's an amazing woman. She says, give, but give till it hurts. Oh, I know when I was trying out for soccer, we had two-a-days for like 2 weeks. Worst 2 weeks of my life. I hated it. You woke up really early, and all you did was run in the first practice, and you just kept running. And then the next day you went back and you kept running. I didn't like running. I liked having a ball in front of me, but I hated running. Right? The coach said, if you want to get better, you must put in the work. It's kind of like this in that mindset. Give, but give till it hurts. And this idea comes from the thought process that if I want to be what God has called me to be, I do it to the extreme. I put as much effort into it that I would put into anything else. It is not like working out for me. I want to work out. I have a gym membership. I haven't seen it for a while. Right? I want to lose weight. I went to Olive Garden last night. I had like 3 baskets of breadsticks. Oh, amazing. It is not like that. And it can't be like that. We are called to do more. Because he did it all. Do you understand that? The most sacrificial thing that has ever been done to us is to send his son to die on a cross for us. To take all our sins for us. And all he asks in return is our life. To live for him. To breathe for him. To work for him. To wake up for him. To die for him. Imagine if we had this idea, this ingrained in us, if God calls us just like the widow. Some of us might say, well, she didn't have much to lose. It's all perspective. In her mind, if she held on to that, she had everything to lose. And it would have only cost her 2 cents. She was depending on God to take care of her. She was depending on God's people to take care of her. She was depending on those things and trusting and having faith that God will. That's the end that we hear about her, right? The most important thing is Jesus sat in a service and watched the heart and the intent of its people. Jesus sits in this service and watched the heart and the intent of his people. Not me, not anybody else. God does. He knows where you're at. I don't know what you give. I don't care to know what you give. I really don't. On the other end of it, I do care for the fact that I care for your heart. That's it. We go through scripture in Acts 2, 44 through 45 says this. This is the beginning of the church, right? This is the beginning of what we look like today. You know, all the believers came together and they had everything in common and they sold property and possessions to give to anyone in need. We've talked about this a little bit, but this is resonant to this service right now. You see, God calls us to give till it hurts. And these people, it's not even like they hurt. They were just saying, God is everything. I believe it. Can you imagine having that faith in that moment? And they didn't backtrack. There was no remorse. It doesn't even talk about remorse. They were so excited and overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. They saw what Jesus had been doing. They believed that he's the Messiah. They believed in his message. And they not only did they believe, they actually lived out that belief and gave everything away. Now, am I telling you to go home, sell your house, and then hopefully God will provide? That is not what I'm saying. If God tells you this morning to do that, I'm not going to step in the way of that. But it's this attitude of what's mine and what is his. I want you to know, I work hard, I think, in some ways. I really do want to say that. I know other people that work really hard for what they get. But it's this mindset. I don't work to gain. I work because that's what God has called me to do. And God has always blessed me. Let's look at Genesis really quick, right? Genesis 12:2 says this, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. This is him talking to Abram, all right? This is the beginning of everything. This is starting to formulate what we look like and how God interacts with us, right? And he says, I will bless you. And he doesn't end it there. Because I think that's where a lot of us would like it to end. I'm blessed. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. That last line is so huge. And you will be a blessing. You see, for God to bless us also means we directly have to become a blessing. Do you understand that? It's such a cool thing. Like, we are not called to just sit alongside. We get to be along with God's work. God, the ultimate one, made everything, and he's created what blessings are, right? And he's called you to be a blessing. I wonder if we stepped outside this and we were by ourselves and we sat down in our car or sat down in our own chair or just had a cup of coffee or a Coke or Mountain Dew or whatever, and we just asked, who have I been a blessing to lately? Would we have an answer? Would we know that face? Would we know that person? Would we even know if God knows that he's blessed us and we just want to bless him right back? You see, when we go against this, guess what starts to happen? We can become bitter. Because we know that God has blessed us, and that's all we see from that point on, and we don't see God working through us. And we become anchored in our spot, and the moment that God stops, we think in our mind, God stops blessing us, we get angry, and God doesn't love me, and there's just this bitterness that starts to reside in us. And the real purpose of living is not to gain the most toys or the most money. The real purpose of living is to be blessed by God and to be part of his blessings. Your neighbors should know your names. You should know your neighbors' names. Because you should be a blessing to them. Because that's God's work, right? There's this moment in Scripture that I find very amazing. It's in, let me find it real quick. It's Acts 16, 16 through 40. I don't have it up there. It's part of this morning that I feel God laid upon my heart. This is Paul and Silas, and they're imprisoned. They're imprisoned because they drive out this demon, this lady, who was helping make money for the people around in Philippi. All right, and the people, once they noticed that they drove out, that these guys, followers of Jesus, drove out this demon, and they were there, it was going to affect their pocketbooks. They got mad, right? And so they flogged them, they beat them, and they imprisoned them. Right now, this is under Roman Empire, okay, and it's a little bit different. Like, prison is different. So they got shackled, and they're sitting on the floor, and I don't know about you, but I'm not doing what they did. They start singing and praying. They didn't have hymns back then, but they had their songs and they were praising God for where they're at. You hear that? They were praising God for being in prison and beaten. And all of a sudden, guess what starts moving? The Holy Spirit starts moving, and people in the other prisoners were like, this is different. These guys are different. They were bringing the blessings of God in that moment of devastation and misery and the lowest of lows. And they weren't down. They weren't cursing their God. They weren't mean. They weren't angry. They weren't spiteful. They were part of God's blessings, and they knew it, and they were doing what God had called them to do, was bring blessings to their people about Jesus Christ. And they got in prison for it. And they start singing, and they start praying, and an earthquake starts happening, and all their shackles are released, and all the cages were opened, and everybody could have left. They had that opportunity. Now, the difference between us and our prison system and their prison system, if everybody would have left, you know who's in trouble? The guards. And you know what their trouble is? Their life. It's not to be fired. It's not to be, like, reprimanded. It's not to lose their job. It's none of those things. Their lives are going to be taken. And they knew it was going to be a severe punishment. So the guards see what happens. They see the gates are open. They just go ahead and assume, well, everybody's gone. Start to pull out their sword and go ahead and take their own lives, because it's worse the other way. And you have Paul and Silas going, wait, we're still in here. We didn't leave. We love you. We know what would happen to you. I want to show you what that is. Sacrificial generosity. That is a changed heart, knowing and understanding what you live for and what you understand the most important thing is not your own life, but Jesus Christ's life living through you to love people beyond their capability of loving them. Do you understand that? That you are called to love them beyond your own capability. That's your call. And part of that is this. And you have Paul and Silas sitting in prison, the most dire straits. You have a widow giving everything. You have people at the beginning of the church totally committed and sold out and saying, this is what life is about. It is not what this world says it's about. It's about what God has commanded me, and I am to give till it hurts. And the hurt is different. The world's going to look at you and go, you're crazy. How can you do that? Why would you do that? It doesn't make sense. In the understanding of what God has written and what God has said, it makes total sense. People are his commodity. People are what he's interested. People is what he has called us to be about. To love them, to cherish them beyond their own understanding. The same way he loved us. And if you remember, that cost hurt. I'm going to leave it there for a second. That cost hurt. There was a moment in the garden where Jesus said, this cup, is there any way other that it can be taken? Meaning, let me explain. Meaning, if there's any other way, God, but the cross, let it be done. And God said, there's no other way to love these people. It is through you, my son, that I will show them that I love them. Sacrificial generosity. I feel like generosity is such a weak term, but it's in reality such a deep word. If we look out in the world today, generosity is not one that's cherished that much. It's not one that's talked about that much. We expect everybody else to be generous. But it needs to start right here. Let's again go back to Genesis where it all began. He blessed us. So you will be a blessing. All right? In Corinthians, we have a church much like this today. Not, they had their own issues, but they had issues with offering just like anybody else. And we have a moment where he says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This morning, and I feel like when I pray for tithes and offerings, I want you to understand our prayer is intentional, that I don't want you to give out of reluctance. I don't want you to give out of like, oh, it's habit. I want you to give with the mindset God is going to use this, and it's going to be a blessing, and it's going to be amazing, and I get to be a part of it. Right? I don't want you to go along the road and somebody that has a sign and you go, you debate whether or not, well, you know, who knows what they're going to do with that. From that point on, in your heart, you've already decided you should probably not give. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I'm saying in the mindset, God wants you to give with a heart that is what? Of cheer. Because of this moment, the moment you give it, it is no longer yours to be concerned about it. That is God to use it. God to change it. God to move it. God to just transform it, and maybe they'll do something that draws them closer to God. We're talking a little bit of money, but also at the same time in this mindset, it is my lifestyle in which God is directing us to live. Money seems to have such a huge pull on it. Right? Right? Money has, it moves the world, it does. And it's scary, and we have news about it, and we have things going on about it. But in the reality of Jesus, you know what's bigger than money? The currency from God in us to give to others. Again, I talked about it a little bit from the beginning with the stories. The world is waiting for authentic followers of Jesus. They've seen it in Scripture. What's amazing is, like, we have all the information in the palm of our hand now. All I have to do is type in Google what my question is or my thought is or Scripture or whatever, and it gives me an answer. And the non-believers have the same information I have as a believer. You know what they don't have? Is a transformation of what I believe Jesus has done in my heart and how I need to live that out. You see, I think we live in a world today that we can invite as many people as we can. We can have the best music. We can have a better pastor. We can have everything that's going to make this into something that we want and desire, right? We want these seats filled up. But what we really will happen is just move other Christians from other churches. Maybe once in a while we will get a story that is different and we're like, hey, I came and I got saved. I think God can use this. I think God can use this morning. I think God can change that. But what the reality is, the best witnessing, the best movement that people are looking for is you in their lives to be Christ in their lives, to be sacrificially generous to them. That's what they're waiting for. And I don't know about you, I think there's a generation of pastors that are getting to the point they're tired of seeing our church people move from one church to another church to another church because they're, you know, it's about their likes and their wants, and it's just not, we're not satisfying in this area, in this area. I'm tired of moving furniture. I'm tired of worrying about it. We want to make an impact. Live this out. Live this out. If you want to see people move to God, live this out. Really quick, I want to take a moment. There's somebody that you're working with, somebody that you're a friend with, somebody that you believe that you have a relationship that needs God. I would love to see them in here. I'm going to say something that's counterintuitive here. I want to see them in here. That's not what I'm going to, like, it's not going to sound like I do. But I don't want and think that the only way for them to come to know God is being here on a Sunday morning. I think God has put them on your mind and put them in your life that you're supposed to be sharing this with them daily. You should be praying about them. You should be thinking about them and how to share God's love and be a blessing to them. At work, at home, wherever you are, God has put you there for a reason. And it's not just to make money. It's not just to be the best doctor or the best trash man. It's not to be those. You want to be that for God, but it's more important about the people that you are around that he has put you there for. And as a church, we need to understand that. Our lives need to resemble Paul and Silas. And not be caught up in the situation that we are, but be caught up in the sacrificial generosity of Jesus Christ. And be ready to give till it hurts. Right? This is a tough sermon. This is, I feel like I'm I hope I haven't lost you, and I hope that we are in a place that God is working on your heart. But my biggest fear is Jesus is sitting in here. And what's the meeting going to be like afterwards? And what's he going to say? I want us to be on that side where he's saying, man, that church is like that widow. They're given everything that they can. And they have faith that I will move and I will take care of them. This is what we're called to do, church. This is how we are called to live daily, not just Sunday. To look at the people that we are called to be around and ask ourselves, are we being a blessing the way God has blessed us? Now, the other challenge is this. If you signed up for Rooted or you've been debating to still sign up for Rooted, I want to implore you to do it, all right? To step out and do that. Secondly, I want to also challenge you to do this too. If there is somebody in your life that you know that needs this, that doesn't necessarily know God but is questioning God and has asked you about God and you've had debates or you've had those conversations, maybe they just even ask you, hey, I know you believe, can you pray for me? Right? My challenge is this, to step out sacrificially and invite them to a Rooted group. To make them part of it. And it might change the whole atmosphere of that Rooted group. But that's what God wants. Those are where questions happen. And what's awesome about Rooted, it helps answer a lot of questions. I challenge you to do that. That's why I'm going to put off. We're going to have one last Sunday next Sunday to be able to sign up and be a part of this. But my thought is I want you to come back next week. Hopefully, if we get one that you said, my friend is willing to do it. They've never stepped in church. They've never been a part of church, but they're willing to do this and be a part of this group because they want to know what God's really through, and they've seen it, God, in me, and so they want to know what this is all about. And this is a safe place to do it. Next Sunday, you have that chance to write that name down. You can have the opportunity to buy a book. We can even give it to them for free. I don't care. What we care about is souls here and God moving in them. And we're willing to do whatever it takes to do that till it hurts. We are called to give sacrificially. All right? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that your words were spoken this morning. I pray that you were able to put me to the side. I pray that we can take nuggets of what your scripture says and we can go and be transformed today. Lord, I pray that we can live a life that is a blessing to others. I pray that we walk out of here not ready just for today, but we're ready for tomorrow, and we're ready for Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and we come back ready for our cup to be refilled because you are so amazing. You've called us to spill out upon this world of love and that needs your blessings. And I pray that we come back empty, ready to be filled up with your presence again. May you overflow in our lives to the point that people are noticing and are moved and want it. And want to see it lived out and want to ask these questions of who you are and why you've changed these lives. Lord, I pray that maybe we find ourselves in a moment that we feel like Paul and Silas and life is just miserable. Lord, can we sing worship songs to you? Can we have a heart that's full of joy and know that in this misery, your presence is bigger? Lord, I pray this week we seek you out. We know that we're blessed by you and that we're not just hoarding that blessings to ourselves. Lord, may we give till it hurts this week. We love you, Lord. May we be a church that's easily transformed by your presence. May we continually say yes to you and follow you daily. We thank you for all that you've given us. I pray that we give it right back and put it in your hands and trust you with it. We love you, Lord. Amen. So this morning, if you've written down that you want to lead or host a rooted group, I'd love to talk to you for a couple minutes right after service. You can meet me up here. I want to touch base with you. If you have questions about rooted, or if you're like, I've never heard of it before, come and see me too. See any of our board members. If you don't know them, they'll be out in the foyer after our meeting if they've signed up to be leaders. Just find somebody, ask, and also, before you go, be a blessing to somebody today, all right? Love you, church. Go and be blessed.